Time to catch up with the latest in nature, thanks to DOCS Threatened Species Ambassador Nicola Tookie. Hello there.
Good afternoon. How are you?
Good. I thought of you and your little boy on the weekend because I took my girls to the new Te Papa. Their refurbishment, basically, it's their first major refurb for 21 years or however long it's been since Te Papa opened, and they took their whole natural history unit and just blew it up, basically, and have rebuilt the whole thing, and it is wicked.
It is amazing. I'm a little bit jealous. When I was up at Te Papa for the Crazy and Ambitious conference last month, I sprinted around it while one of my colleagues stood outside and held onto my bag. You can't take your bags or anything through.
What did you make of it?
I really loved it. So I was always confused by the natural history kind of elements of Te Papa in the past, but I really felt like Te Taiao really brought it all together. Like it's exactly how I expect a natural history museum in this day and age to be, and there's some really cool things like the moa skeletons.
Yeah.
The shadows behind them move.
Yeah. Yeah, it just looks like a shadow of the skeleton, and then it starts like actively kind of eating things and moving. That's a very clever little effect. And some of the best things, I think, aren't even the special effects, but just what they've done. Like, they now have devoted areas to show you all the stuff that is unique about New Zealand fauna, which I think is a really cool idea. One giant wall where everything you're looking at can only be found endemic in New Zealand.
Yeah, I loved that. I would take that home and put it on my wall.
yeah. Did you get? You were rushing through. Did you get a chance to try the new sort of smell-o-vision effects?
No, I didn't. But I've heard about it and read about it, of course. But I was just kind of running around with my eyes wide open, just trying to take it all in, and thinking, oh man, I have to come back here because, and it's been incredibly successful as well. Like, I think they've got something like 4,500 visitors a day through there.
Yeah, overseas and international, overseas and local, although it's primarily pitched at local, but yes, definitely recommended and free. You just have to get yourself to Wellington. What have you been up to?
Yes, and don't have a suitcase because then you can't go in.
Oh, yeah.
On the weekend, me and the bloke shot across to Akaroa for the evening.
Yeah.
Because we'd farmed Hunter out to somebody else to go and see the Wiggles. I went to the Wiggles once. That's the only, you only have to do the Wiggles once. It's illegal to do it more than once. Anyway, and so, but on the way over there, we were travelling through Little River, and I was like, stop the car! And there was a kotuku, a white heron, just hanging out next to the bridge in Little River. So I made Chris stop the car, and I leaped out to take a photo. And very amusingly, at that moment, it was very windy. The wind blew my scarf, and it just blew completely over my face. I couldn't see anything, and almost fell off the bridge.
That's good, because I was a bit disappointed when I was in Akaroa last. Every time I looked at a bird, it was a blooming Canadian goose, or whatever they're called. So nice to see some natives still fighting their way through.
Well, it was, and, kotuku are very, very special, particularly to iwi, and, they're special because to see one is so rare, and for my husband and I to get away from, for a weekend is also really rare. But on the way home, from Akaroa, I jumped on a plane and shot up to Northland, and spent Monday in Waipoua Forest with Te Rorua up there, and that was really special as well.
Man, you get around, don't you?
Oh, yeah, but Waipoua Forest, for me, being born and bred in the Southland, I didn't even know there was basically a North Island until I was probably 20. Mm-hmm. If you haven't been to Waipoua Forest, you know, it's an incredibly special place, and it's steeped in history and kind of spiritual connection. And
that's just up past Dargaville, isn't it? Is that the one on the west?
Yeah, that's right. And it's where Tane Huta is. So if you know the big kauri tree that everybody flocks to see. Of course, that's a big problem for us at the moment, because we're so concerned about kauri dieback. And when me and one of our scientists were driving through the road through the forest there on the way to meet Te Rorua, I saw these just skeletons of kauri trees that have passed away because of kauri dieback.
Bloody
and it's
hell.
Quite confronting to see. So I know that they're all working really hard up there to try and turn things around. So, fingers crossed. They do okay. So anyway, it was nice. It was nice to be in such a special place. And even though we were in a place full of the biggest things in New Zealand, the Kauri tree, one thing that we saw that we all got really, really into was we saw lots of native bee holes in the banks.
Yeah, we've talked about native bees before on the show, but they are so sweet, little solitary bees doing their things in the clay banks.
Hey, we better
talk about this week's Critter of the Week and something a bit special this week.
Yeah, something really special. So we are going to talk about a brand new species only described this in the last couple of weeks. It's the Moonga Tua stonefly. And Moonga Atua is what the name should actually be. It means the hill of spirits. And if you've ever landed at Dunedin Airport, that big Moonga Tua is the big hill that you see right next to the runway there. So this is a cool story because it's about the discovery of a new species that nobody knew about within a stone's throw of Dunedin City, which is quite incredible. So stoneflies are one of our freshwater invertebrates, and what I mean by that is that the larvae kind of reside in freshwater and the adults burst out and live in the terrestrial space. But interestingly, kind of like some of our species of butterflies, they don't live for very long out in the air. They're just there to breed, and so they don't generally they don't even eat when they've changed from metamorphosed from being a larvae into a stonefly. They're about 2,000 species of stonefly known around the world. About 100 of those are in New Zealand, which are all unique to New Zealand, and we can now say that there are about 101.
Right.
Thanks to Dunedin PhD student Brodie Foster and his professor John Waters at Otago Uni, who found it, stumbled across this stonefly on the top of the Moonga Tua, which must have been quite hard. They must have literally stumbled across it because the wind up there is so powerful that I'm pretty sure they were getting blown about a fair amount. They've just done the DNA analysis and it turns out to be a brand new species. So, you know, it's pretty exciting and impressive to do a PhD, but to do a PhD and, by the way, discover a whole new species that we think has been around for about 2 million years is pretty exciting indeed.
What a great country to do postgraduate research. And earlier this week I came across a master's student who for her master's had discovered a new volcano in Auckland. That's not bad.
that is really cool. And I think that the really unusual thing about the stonefly, so, you know, as I said, there's a couple of thousand species of them and they're called a stonefly because of the way that they fly around once they kind of, you know, pop up into out of the water and into the air. Except, what a surprise, here in New Zealand, this Moonga Tua stonefly doesn't fly. In fact, it's a bit of a misnomer because over the 2 million years of being up on that hill where it blows and blows and blows, its wings are just tiny little remnants, but like a kiwi. You know, if you're lucky enough to pick up a kiwi, you can find a tiny remnant of what was a wing.
A little nub.
The same thing applies to the Moonga Tua stonefly. So we think that probably a couple of million years ago, these things would have blown up there or accidentally kind of drifted up there and then stayed there and then just evolved over time to just hunker down and hang on for dear life, which is what it's been able to do.
So not so much a stone fly as a stone walk.
Exactly, much like the bat fly, which should be a bat walk. And just as a complete aside, the species name that annoys me the most is pilot whale because clearly their navigation skills are awful.
So really super local, eh?
Super local. Only lives, so far they've found it in a couple of streams and only within a couple of hundred metres of stream habitat. Mm. So, you know, it may be elsewhere, but then again, it may not because actually, you know, with these kinds of invertebrate fauna who have become so specialised, it might be specifically that environment that it needs. Now, the other thing you should probably know about stoneflies and all of those freshwater invertebrates is that they're really, really good indicators, stoneflies, mayflies, caddisflies, of good water quality, right? So in this day and age when we're already concerned about what rivers we can swim in and drink from, if there are fast-flowing, you know, oxygenated streams with lots of vegetation around and nice cool temperatures, you will find a large variety of these types of things, which will tell you that that is a good place to dip your hands in and have a kind of slurp.
Hey, I was quite impressed with the look of this thing. Almost reminded me of a kind of a like a juvenile wetter or something like that. Just this beautiful, almost like a tortoise shell sort of colouring.
Yeah, you're right, actually. A tortoise shell is definitely what I would think too. They so stoneflies, generally speaking, don't look as cool as this particular one. They always have the two little antennae poking out of its bottom, as well as the two little antennae poking out of its head. They're not called antennae, by the way, when they poke out of its bottom, so you don't need to email me about that. But you're right, it looks like, when you've got tortoise shell sunglasses or something, that's the kind of colour that it's gone for. I think they're neat, and they're quite grunty looking things because, obviously you need to have big kind of thick stocky legs to exist in that environment.
So, if I was to ask you how you'd rate the physical attractiveness of the newly discovered Mangatua stonefly on a scale of 1 to 10, what would you say?
I'm going to give it a solid 7. I like it. New to science and new to me, and I think it's a winner.
Suppose I should really ask University of Otago zoology professor John Waters or his PhD student Brodie Foster how they rank the attractiveness. They must be stoked this week.
They must be tickled pink, I imagine. And really nice, though, that they found it on Mangatua, because it is a place of such sort of deep connection to the land. It's really special to local iwi, and it's got cool things like carnivorous plants, like sundews and glowworms and all sorts of neat stuff in it. So
That's your hood,
little
eh?
bit of a yeah, it is well, my old hood. Yeah, a little bit of a lost world up there. But luckily, the weather is so awful and the terrain is so terrible, it's probably kept it protected for decades.
Should say too, the research that you have been doing on alpine insects was funded by a Marsden grant. So thanks, Marsden people.
Thanks, see, isn't it great when you fund science and find new things?
Nicola Tookie, Doc's Threatened Species Ambassador, thank you for telling us a bit about this new species, the Mangatua stonefly. People can check out the photo, as always, on the website rnz.co.nz/Jessie. Have a great weekend and I'll catch you next Friday.
Thanks, Jessie.